Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo at Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at www.hbcaz.org. So get ready, find your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Thank you, Lord, that there is a place that we can run to take all our cares, all our concerns, and lay them at the foot of the cross. Where you took our sins, you took our cares, our worries, Lord, and you said, Father, that you would take care of us, for we are your children. And Father, we love you and praise you for all of that. In Jesus' name,
amen.
All right, you may be seated. That's a cool mask. That is so cool. Look at it. Show everybody that. That is awesome. It says Harvest Bible Church in LED. That's awesome. We need to sell those in the bookstore. That'd be awesome. All right, you can bring this mic down just a tad, just a little bit. It's on the verge of ringing. That's probably pretty groovy right there. All right, I got a couple of announcements for you. First of all, this way a little bit because I feel lopsided. First of all, Friday night, this Friday, is our fellowship feast and talent show. Oh my goodness, are y'all in for a treat? It's gonna be awesome. So, you know, bring something to share or not, just bring your appetite. There'll be plenty of food. And of course, there's gonna be some great entertainment. I had the privy of witnessing some of it. Oh yeah, okay. We got some talented people. Also, listen, it's great to see all the women who have signed up for our women's retreat. I think it was a record first day signups for our women's retreat. Yeah, it's going to be full. I don't know how many, after I saw the ladies signing up this evening, I don't know how many spots we're going to have left over for Sunday, but I'm just telling you, it will blow your mind. The teacher is phenomenal, phenomenal Bible teacher. So be ready. Be ready, ladies and men. Nudge your ladies, whether it be your wife, your mom, your daughter, your next door neighbor. It doesn't matter. Nudge them. They need to go. We need every bed filled. All right. Also, lastly, if you want to get connected, the best way to get connected here at HBC or any church for that matter is by joining a ministry. We don't have a membership. We believe you are born into the body of Christ. You are born into the church. But there's a way to be more involved, to be more connected, and that is by joining a ministry. A couple of ministries I'd like to highlight. Children's Church. Listen, if I wasn't here, I did Children's Church for many years. And I did, Good News Club. I just love when you get lead a child to the Lord. That's a lifetime of devotion. So let me encourage you, that's a great place. Multimedia, we can teach you how to do some cool stuff with sound and video, and it's just awesome. Cleaning and maintenance and landscape, there's a plethora of areas that you can get plugged into. So just pray if that's something that God puts on your heart, that you want to be more involved, more connected. These are areas that you can easily get involved and get connected, and it's a wonderful thing to be active part of what God is doing in any church, but especially if you consider HBC your home. All right, I need to pray one more time because we're going to have some fun tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again. Holy Spirit, teach us. Teach us, Lord, and give us discernment. And Lord, may we rely and remember all the things of your word, all the things that we need to draw from in our daily lives. Lord, we love you, praise you, honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. One of the most lacking tools in church, in amongst Christian lives, is discernment. So many Christians lack discernment. And listen, there are times that that's me as well. But let me tell you, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says this, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, in other words, mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, that discernment also applies to our understanding and our study of God's word. It is important, and even more important, when we listen to others, when we listen to pastors teach, that we make sure that we don't just go, oh, well, he's got a big church, he's got people listening, he's on TV or on YouTube. It must be true. And by the way, he's a very persuasive speaker. That's not the key. It must line up with Scripture. And by the way, as a pastor, I have a very similar heart to Paul. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, here's what Paul says. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more, watch this, in knowledge and all discernment. See, it's not just gushy love. It's love with knowledge. Knowledge of what? Scripture and discernment. That you may, verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ. And so my goal for me as a pastor, of course, but for you as a church, is that we would grow in love, that love between us would abound more and more, but it has to be in knowledge and discernment. Well, what does that mean? Sometimes love from Scripture doesn't feel like love because it's kind of corrective and it's a little ouchy boo-boo. I had to do that a few times this week. I got some scathing emails and texts of people not liking what I had to share with them, but everything I did was from love, trying to help them. So what we are going to do tonight, we're doing a Q&A, but a little different because it's all going to be video Q&A, okay? Now, I want to make something very clear as we do this Q&A tonight. I am not bashing those that you're going to see on video. I'm not saying that I or we are better than them. I'm not saying that they're not saved. They may be completely sincere. I am simply pointing out that there's possibility that there is some error. And what I want is I want you to discern if the error, if you see the error. I want you to tell me if it's wrong. There might be a video in there that is totally right. So you go, oh, they're wrong. I might go, you're wrong. It's right. but here's the thing, okay? And I want to lay down one other ground rule. If I know you to be an incredibly seasoned Christian, I'm not going to pick on you right away, even if you're the only one holding up your hand, okay? But let you be warned. If you are a seasoned Christian and you give the wrong answer, no, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. No, I'm not. Yes, I'm teasing. Maybe. Okay, so our first video tonight is a very interesting video. I ran across it a while back and I shared it. And I got to sing Friday. And I'm like, shared it. You lay you. Okay, that's Susan. She could probably do that awesome. Yeah. Listen, I ran across this video, and I shared it with my deacons, and I never clarified what the truth was or what the, I don't think I did. If I did, well, oh well. I'm not going to call on the deacons. So here's the first question. Who should we pray to? Watch.
Can we or should we pray to the Holy Spirit?
Ah, okay, so a little shift here, a little slide.
Yeah.
We're going to now ask another question. Should we pray to the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, first of all, we should pray at all times, right? Yeah. Without ceasing, be devoted to prayer. That's Colossians 4, 1 Thess 5, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6, 17. It actually says, and I know you know this, sweet Emma, but where it says pray at all times, not to the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. but pray all times in the Spirit. There's some people even that are confused by what that means. Is that a prayer language? And no, it's not a prayer language. There's no evidence that the tongues of the Scripture was ever a prayer language. Mm-hmm. Here's the prayer language. All right. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Yeah. So prayer language is praying the Scriptures, praying not my will, but your will be done. And so, you know, even the Lord's Prayer, which we all love to recite, that's not even a prayer language. That's a model prayer, not a magic prayer. But I'll answer it this way. We should pray to the Father in the name of the Son, while abiding or by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we don't really pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray by the abiding Spirit of Christ that's in us. But I will tell you this. If I'm with somebody, and you hear a lot of friends who do this sometimes, you go, Jesus, I just want you to. I don't stop and go, hey, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Pray to the Father. Yeah. Right? So I'll let it get away. I'm not going to be a prayer Nazi. I might come up to somebody a little bit later because it's important when you're publicly praying, you know,
we're teaching.
Yeah, we're modeling, right? Because that's how the disciples learned to pray. They heard Jesus pray and they go, teach us to pray. Mm-hmm. So you do need to know this. When you're praying, folks are learning from you how to pray. And so you probably shouldn't say, oh, Spirit, right? We know that God is Spirit, 1 John 4:8, but just say Father. Because why? Because Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way.
Yeah.
To your Father, who's in heaven, who's not like you, okay, and who you don't control, which is why you say, not my will, but your will be done. And then follow that model.
Is that correct today for us to pray that way? I don't know. You tell me. Okay, all right, we got a hand up. Woo! Yeah, baby! That mic's not on. Is the power on? Oh, there you are. Okay. So he said, when we pray to the Father. And he says, if I'm a prayer group and someone, you know, prays to Jesus or prays to the Holy Spirit, he's going to not, you know, make a spectacle, maybe pull them aside and say, hey, that's not the way we pray. Jesus said, pray our Father. Take it away.
We always pray to the Father, to Father in the name of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit that gives us our relationship with the Father and through Jesus.
Okay, so what does that mean? That's what he said. You just repeated exactly what he said. I'm asking you.
Yes, if it was true, if that's the way, and I'm agreeing.
You agree with him?
Yeah.
That we pray to the Father, and if someone's in a prayer group and they pray to Jesus, that quietly, separately, we should tell them, you know, that's not how we pray.
No.
No or yes? What? I'm not understanding. Don't just say no. Give me a...
If we're in a prayer group and somebody's praying in Jesus' name.
That's not what he said. He didn't say if someone prayed in Jesus' name. If someone prays to Jesus, not in Jesus' name. He says if they pray to Jesus or if they pray to the Spirit, I'm not going to say anything to them there. I'm going to wait until after and maybe tell them, hey, we're teaching other people how to pray. We're to pray to the Father. That's what Jesus said, pray to the Father. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Why?
Because that's what we're told to do.
Okay, anyone else want to add to that? Okay, we got a hand up right here. Wait, you need a microphone, bro. There you go, and talk into it.
Okay, I have a testimony behind a prayer.
Okay, whoa. It better be a short testimony.
Very short.
Okay, thank you.
Big trash can fell on top of me. I was taken out to the dust. I laid there, I called my wife, everybody. Nobody heard me. And I sat there and I said, Lord, it's only you and me. God, my God. I said, Lord, it's only you and me. And then I rested for a second. And I said, Lord, okay, I just want you to help me take this trash can off of me so I can get my leg out of it. I didn't say my hand. I said my leg. And I said, okay, Lord, let's do it. And I picked that trash can up. I didn't pick it up. The Holy Spirit picked it up.
Okay, but what
I was praying to God.
Which one?
My God.
Wait. Wait. John, you missed the whole question. Okay. The question isn't, Jesus God? Is Jesus God?
He's three in one God. But I prayed to my Lord God, the Father.
Question is, and I need you to answer this question. Okay. Do we pray to the Father? Do we pray to the Son? Do we pray to the Holy Spirit? Can I pray to the Father? Can I pray to the Son? Can I pray to the Holy Spirit? Or do I only have to pray to the Father? That's the question. Whoa. That's the question, not whether we can lift a trash can.
Okay, my answer is yes, I can pray to the Father. And
Okay, but the question is, can that's what he's saying, John. He said, we have to only pray to the Father.
No, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and God, all three in one. Okay. I'm talking to all of them.
Okay, next person. Can we turn the other mic on? There it goes.
Hello?
Yes.
So I think that we can pray to Jesus. That, yeah, we can pray to the Heavenly Father like he said there. But we have a relationship with Jesus Christ because he's our Savior. He's the one who died on the cross for our sins. And in Hebrews, it says that he's our mediator. He's our high priest. He's the one that we can go to with all of our problems. We can pray in Jesus' name, but we can pray to Jesus also.
But Jesus said, pray to the Father. That was the example he gave.
Yeah, that was before he died on the cross.
Well, he didn't say, but after I die, you can pray to me.
Okay, well, then he also said in John, I think it's 13, that we are his friends if we do what he tells us to do. And so I can pray to him. He's my friend, like what a friend we have in Jesus. We can give him all of our burdens because he's the one, he's my Savior. So I think like it's kind of a dumb point. I think that you can pray to your Heavenly Father, but that you can pray to Jesus too, because he's my Savior, he's my mediator, and he's my friend.
Okay. Any other views? We have a hand up right over here. If you leave them on, he should just be able to mute them over there and just turn them on. Just leave them in the on position. That'd be easiest. Yes.
To me, if you're praying to God, you're also praying to Jesus, and you're also praying to the Holy Spirit. There's no delineation in my mind.
There's not? Okay, well, hold on. So you heard him. He said, you can pray to the Father, you can pray to the Son, you can pray to the Holy Spirit. There's no delineation.
That's not what I said. I said, when you pray to one, you're praying to all of them.
Okay, but you said there's no delineation.
There is delineation, but when I...
He knew where I was going.
No,
he
but what I'm saying, if I'm praying to God, I'm also praying to Jesus and the Holy Spirit at one time because they're three in one.
But is there a delineation?
I don't have to say, I'm praying this to the Father. I'm praying this to Jesus. I'm asking the Holy Spirit for this. You know, I may do that, but if I'm praying to one, I'm technically praying to all three.
Okay, let me ask you, can I do this?
Sure.
Can I say, Father, thank you for dying on the cross for me?
No.
Why not?
That's worshiping. That's not saying a prayer in my mind.
No. In my prayer, okay, I'm not going to break into a 45-minute prayer for you. I'm giving you an example, an excerpt from a prayer.
Yeah.
So a part of my prayer, I go, Father God, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I can say that.
Yes.
The Father died on the cross.
No, it's not what I was trying to say. You separate that. Jesus died on the cross. The Father sent him to die. So you can thank the Father for sending Jesus.
But that wasn't my question. My question was very specific.
But it was about prayer.
I choose my words very carefully, and I said, you said there's no delineation. Let me finish my statement, sir. You said there was no delineation. They're all the same. So I said, hang on.
That's not what I was saying. You can keep going, but that's not what I was saying.
No, I have it recorded, and I can take back and replay what you said.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
So, you're right in idea, but here's the point that I'm going to make throughout this. When we talk about the Bible, we have to be very careful about the words we choose. I know that Mark understands the truth. There is a delineation. Here's the delineation. First of all, y'all are right. We can pray. He's wrong. And by the way, he's a very good pastor. 9 times out of 10, 9.999% of the time, I totally agree with this guy. I'm not going to give you his name, but he's very good, very knowledgeable, incredibly smart. He just got this one wrong. I could probably get some wrong too, and if I do, please bring it to my attention. I will make adjustments. But we have to remember that each God has a Godhead and all three are individual. For instance, which of the Trinity teaches us according to Scripture? The Holy Spirit teaches us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So the Holy Spirit brings remembrance. The Holy Spirit teaches me and helps me to know things. How about Jesus in John 14, 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the God will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things I said to you. Not only that, the Holy Spirit empowers us, Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit convicts us, that's John 16:8. So the Holy Spirit has responsibilities, okay? You can bring my mic down just a little more, sir. It's still ringing and I can push, but because I'm standing in front of the microphone. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Okay, so then we go, who sent his only son to die on the cross? The Father. So like Mark was saying, I can say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to save me. But I say, Father, thank you for sending your son to save me. And I can say, Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching me that, that the Father. You see, so we can pray to all three. How about this? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for us. Yes. Listen, we come through to the Father through Jesus, who is our mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. He's our mediator. Listen, when you go to mediation, they don't say, don't talk to the mediator. No, the mediator is there to communicate with you. And so we thank the Father for sending the Holy Spirit to us. We thank Jesus that without him, we wouldn't receive the Holy Spirit. We thank the Holy Spirit for opening our eyes and teaching us and helping us get trash cans off of us. Yes, that's true. But we have to understand, you can pray to any one of the Godhead. They will figure it out who you're addressing. It's not like God goes, you know, I start praying, Lord Jesus, and Father God goes, stop it, Randy. Don't talk to him. Of course I can talk to Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Yes, you're right. Absolutely right. Okay, so that was pretty fun, right? First one? Right? You like that? You like that? Okay. These are fun. This one, this next one, oh, it's a lot of fun, okay? A lot of people are well-meaning, and a lot of people say things that sound really good and helpful. I think people want to be helpful. Ask me, let me know if this guy is helpful. Watch.
I think that at the end of your life, there's this place you come to, and I'm a Christian, so I think at the end of my life, I want the Lord to go, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. Doesn't matter what your faith is. You probably are aware there's history being made or an accounting. But I also think he's going to go, hey, by the way, this is who you could have been. I think he introduces you to the person you are capable of becoming. I really believe that, that the end of your life, you're going to get introduced to the person you could have been, you were destined to be, that he made you to be. And so I'm chasing that dude. Every day I'm chasing that dude. That's the pull power for me. Every decision I make, the things I go through in my life, whether I'm going to go to the gym, whether I'm going to make a phone call, how I'm going to eat, does it get me closer to that guy? Because I think the best end of a life is well done by the Lord, and you're identical twins with that person. The bad end of a life would be I meet this man I could have been, and we're total strangers. I mean, we're just complete opposites. I know nothing about this guy. There's no familiarity at all. And it means that I went down these easy roads. I took the comfortable road. The comfortable road will never lead you to the person you were destined to be.
Was that helpful? By the way, the mic's right in the pocket. Thank you, sir. Was that helpful? Is it accurate? No. Stop. Yelling out stuff is going to get you in trouble with me. Yeah. So if you think, first of all, here you go. Here's my question. Is that helpful? If it is, why? If it's not, why not? So raise your hand. Okay, Mark's up. He's brave. Right over here in the corner. Against the wall. This little wallflower that's blossoming right before our eyes.
He's definitely not helpful. And our whole goal is to try to strive to be like Jesus, not to be like somebody that we're destined to be. We already know we're destined. We should try to emulate Jesus and be like him. And that's the real goal for all of us.
That's it. Well, first of all, you're right. But that's it. That's the only problem you see with this video. Just that. Okay, here we go. Come on, we got to hear from some other people. Go ahead.
It's all about himself on there, about how I eat or drink. It's his vision. It's not God's vision of what he's supposed to be. It's what he sees in his mind.
Is it? Why do you say that? How do you know his heart?
Because he only mentioned himself, what I eat, what I do, what I was destined to be. I want to be the person I was destined to be. You know, again, we're supposed to glorify Jesus and Father.
He's not glorifying God?
I don't think so. He's trying to glorify himself.
Is he?
Why do you
say that?
Did you listen to what he said?
No, I'm asking you if you listen.
Because all he did was talk about himself, about what he eats.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to be disappointed and meet this stranger.
Okay, you're getting close. You're right, but we got another hand up right here. Don't be afraid, Gino. He's itching to.
Okay, if I heard him right, he said in the beginning he wanted to hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes.
But then he also said, it doesn't matter what religion you are.
Yes. Very good. What else?
There's only one way.
Yes, amen. So thank you for catching that.
Jesus
way to go.
Said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Right? Amen. Okay, great. Now we're getting, you were absolutely right. You're absolutely right. There's more. I want to see who picked up on this. There's one. Oh, we got a hand up over here.
I don't know if this is where you're going with it, but I'm not sure where he grabs that when we get to heaven. Well, he didn't say heaven. He just said we'd enter in and we'd be told, well done, thy good and faithful servant, and then we'd be introduced to this person of our potential. Where he even gets that, it's not scriptural. And then if you don't end up there and you take the easy route in life, you'll meet this person who's a stranger. Again, where does he get this knowledge that he has? Because I don't see that anywhere in scripture. And in fact, if you get to heaven and God says, well, this is who you could have been, that's kind of condemning.
Yes, it is. And what is there not any of in heaven?
Condemnation.
There is no condemnation. You can't answer. You didn't raise your hand. Now you can't answer from over here.
It doesn't say that he's going to sit there and tell us what we could have done better or anything like that. It's not about us. We're going to be glorifying God. So what does it matter what we could have, should have?
Which goes back to what Mark said, that it was all about himself.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
He's basically saying that everybody goes to heaven. He never mentioned if you take the easy path, he didn't say you're going to hell. He said you're going to this, to the same place as the other people. That
yes.
Are doing right.
There was no distinction.
There's no distinction.
And that goes back to, he said, it doesn't matter what religion you are.
Right.
And then he said, I believe it. I really believe it. He was emphatic. Go ahead, back there, over there. Yes.
I was just going to mention that he said it doesn't matter what
faith you have.
Yeah.
So that kind of was like,
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And basically, no. What else? Okay, in his list of things that he was making decisions about, what was missing? Yes.
Well, Jesus was completely out of almost everything he said there. He based everything off of works, though. It was being a good person, doing good things, eating right, going to the gym. Whatever he felt was successful was getting him into heaven. But none of it pointed to having faith in Christ. None of it at all. It was all works. And he thinks at the end he's going to make it.
Yeah, okay. We got one more hand, and then I'm going to give you the last piece from that's missing from the puzzle. I hope you hit it.
So we've all fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned.
Yes.
So yet there is no perfect self of us in the like.
He
whatever.
Didn't say perfect.
Well, he was saying the potential, what he could be. He wants to be everything that he can be. But he's not thinking in terms of laying up for himself treasure in heaven. He's
right.
thinking of just living in this, the best he can be in this life. Well, this life is but a vapor. We're supposed to be living as pilgrims in this life and living our lives for eternity and for the glory of God, not... to be all muscle bound and, hey, look, I'm living a healthy life. God wants us to serve others.
Thank you.
To store up treasures in heaven, not here. And he's got this narrow vision of here.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And then, of course, all his other stuff about
right.
the Broadway.
See, the one thing that was missing is him saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Yet I heard nothing about serving in any of his statements other than self-serving. He mentioned nothing about, but there was some truth in there mixed in. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now, can we all not be better Christians when we get to the end of our life? So I don't remember who said it, but they said, I'm sure that when I get to heaven, I'm going to realize that I could have prayed more. If I have one regret, is that I could have prayed more. Now, yes, we could all be better selves, but there is no condemnation in heaven. God's not going to go, look, Randy, here's what you should have been, you jerk. He's not going to do that. He's just going to say, enter in. Why? First of all, we enter in not by our works, but by what is finished on the cross, period. Yes. Yeah. But also with that, like Desiree said, there was no mention of where he got this concept from. And he said he believed it. He was emphatic that he believed it. And of course, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And here's the dangerous part, folks. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this book, in this prophecy, God will take away his part in the book of life from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now you go, well, Pastor Randy, he wasn't taking from a revelation. I'm sorry. Revelation, as you're going to see this Sunday and the following Sunday, is all about the end times, and there's nothing that he mentioned in there. So yes, he was adding to that. And of course, if you want to get technical, adding to any part of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may be keep the commandments of the Lord which I command you. And then, of course, Proverbs 30, verse 6, do not add to his word, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. Yay. All right. So, all right, that was number two. Y'all are doing great, by the way. You get a attaboy girl people, Christian parishioners. I got a really good one. This one's the longest one. But hang on to your hats. This is fun. Pay attention. Go.
God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And if our sound mind's intact, not just by the memorization of Scripture, but actually of becoming the very Word itself.
Right.
God didn't want us to just memorize the Word. He wants us to become the Word. God wants our flesh to become the very Word that we say we know. And He's actually making me actively become that very Word that I believe.
Yeah. And you are not the identity of who your parents created you to be.
Whew.
Because God says that you have the DNA of Abba.
Yes.
You see it. It's the divine
That's right.
nature of Abba,
Amen.
The DNA.
That's When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
You tap into who you really are. You know what the Bible calls you? It says you are little Elohim. You are a little God.
So this God-like person inside of Benny Hinn right here has nothing to do with flesh and blood. He's a part of God. He's a little God walking in a little body.
But don't you understand? That's what he's saying about us now. Like right now, you're looking at a person who is not just a person. Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Say after me, within me is a God-man. Say it again. Within me is a God man. Now let's say it even better than that. Let's say I am a God man.
Now, in verse 26 and verse 27, God now submits himself to this principle of everything producing after its own kind. And in verse 26 and 27, let's read it out loud. Ready? Read. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now that's interesting, because if everything produces after its own kind, we now see God producing man. And if God now produces man, and everything produces after its own kind, if horses get together, they produce what? And if dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together and say, let us make man, then what are they producing? They're producing gods. Time to go through all this, but I'm going to say to you right now, you are gods, little g. You are gods because you came from God, and you are gods. You're not just human. The only human part about you is this physical body that you live in. The real me is just like God.
You know who you are? Turn to Psalm 82. This is going to blow your mind real good. Psalm 82:1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. That's you. He judgeth among the what? Now, would you please listen to me? This is talking about you. He's telling the gods. Who are the gods? You are. See, I never heard that. Let me ask you this. Hello, you. Are you God's offspring? Then you're not human.
Okay, after watching this video, I understand now. Ephesians 4:6 says, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. God is in you. I understand now with new definition, Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. More than a conqueror? I'm a God. I learned that watching that. Please don't believe me. Okay. But I'm so now correct me if you can. I dare thee. Line in the sand or the carpet. Sandy carpet.
That is not correct, because God is perfect and without sin. And if we're in, yes, we are supposed to be in his image, but sin was introduced to us, which makes us unlike him.
Okay, that was going to be another video, because these same people all say this. So you're right. God is without sin. But these same people say that since they got saved, they no longer sin.
That is not true.
God took my sin nature. I'm a new creature in Christ, and the new Randy doesn't sin, bro. Are you a new creature? Old things have passed away. That doesn't the scripture say old things have passed away? Wouldn't that be your sin? Do you still sin the same sins you used to do? Yes. You might not be saved. Well, listen, have old things passed away or not? Dude, by the way, you're doing awesome. I just like to play it hard. Okay, next. Dude, good job, though. I don't mean to freak you out. I'm more than a conqueror. What's more than a conqueror? God. Yes.
If we're not humans, then what are we?
Gods. With a little g. Look, I love Marvel. I'm like a baby Hulk or something. I'm bulk.
We're not perfect. We're God's children, but we're not little gods. We are God's children, but we're not perfect like him. God is himself, and we are his children.
Okay.
Yeah, his children.
Are you a believer?
Yes.
Are you a born-again believer? Are you a born-again believer? You accepted Christ on the cross?
Yes.
Did the Holy Spirit come and reside inside you?
Yes.
Okay, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he?
He is
Jesus. The Holy Spirit. Is he God? Is the Holy Spirit God? Is he? Yes or no? Say it into the mic.
Yes.
If there's a God in you, ta-da.
That was so weird.
Yes.
I think one of the pastors that was...
Put it closer.
I don't know if I should call him a pastor, but he was talking about producing. I think his view of producing and reproducing are a little off there. He said if God produced man, then we're little gods. He made us, but he didn't reproduce us. And he put it as, you know, dogs reproduce dogs, but he didn't say reproduce, he said produce. And his wording there was messed up. Also, the little g in the gods doesn't mean a god. I believe it's actually idols is what he was talking about.
We'll talk about that here in a moment.
A lot of their studies are just very vague, and they're not getting into the actual wording of what was actually written there to bring out what the actual scripture was saying. Yeah. And yeah.
Okay, I'm going to let you in. Absolutely correct, by the way. I'll let you in. So we're sitting at the dinner table, and I was putting this video together. And so I asked Riley and Jennifer, I said, I got a question for you. We do this every time we have a meal. It's Bible question time or some kind of question. So I said, I gave them this. I said, well, if dogs produce dogs and cats produce cats and horses produce horses and God made us in his image and we have the Holy, aren't we gods? And Riley, without skipping a beat, she goes, how a horse or a person gives birth to a baby is not the same way that God created us. And I'm like, atta girl. She nailed it right out of the box without hesitation. So I bow down before her greatness. She nailed it. But yes, absolutely. There is a difference between the way cats produce cats. They're noisy as all get out. Yes. Okay, there's a difference in the way God made man. He made man, and we're in his image. Can someone please explain to me, in what way are we made in God's image? I mean, he can't be a big, hairy Mexican. Wait, hold on. That's too easy for you. That's easy for you. Let's try someone else. And then if no one answers, then I'll, because I know you know the answer. It's easy. Okay. In what way are we created in God's image? Okay, go ahead. Here, get them over to Lois.
He made us an eternal soul. He made us, when he made the animals, he spoke them into being. But man, he breathed into his breath of life, his spirit. Mm-hmm. And we have an eternal spirit within us mm-hmm. that animals don't have. And awesome. So we were created to live eternally with God and have a relationship with him. That's how we're created Amen. In his image.
Amen. Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, Scripture also talks about him having a physical form, I guess you would say. He talks about his face. He has hands. He has legs, thighs. He made us in his image to be a body shape, I guess you would say, like his.
Yeah, but
I guess the best way that I've heard it explained is like we're a photocopy of God.
Yeah, okay. I don't know how you get that or who said that, but the thing you have to be careful with that, because it also says, oh, Jerusalem, how I would like to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks. So does God have hen wings? You know, he's got a giant celestial chicken. So you got to be careful because, yes, it does say he has hands. It also says that. You know, these are all metaphors and colloquialisms, but ultimately, we are created in his image. First of all, we see pre-incarnate Christ, Christophanies, in the Old Testament numerous times. And there's arguably Melchizedek, but why do I want to open that can of worms tonight? I'm not going to. But so there's all these Christophanies. So I think it, as a whole, not only do we have an eternal spirit, but that's the main one, and we can have a relationship, but also we have the ability to create. You know, you don't see dogs with iPhones and iPads. You know, we also have the ability to forgive deeply. And people go, well, my dog forgives me. Well, quit kicking your dog. But you get the idea. Now, real quick, I had a whole bunch of scriptures, but I want to get to another video here. But real quick, turn with me to Psalm 82. He referenced Psalm 82 because it does say gods, and it's not talking about idols in this position in this scripture. So I want to clarify when he says we're gods with little g's, because there are gods here. Look, Psalm 82, verse 1. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. The congregation of the what? Mighty. Powerful. He judges among the gods. Little g. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Let me explain something to you. In the Old Testament, judges. God appointed certain men to be judges. And they would rule over the people. Well, they were considered like gods in the sense that they could sentence someone to death or someone to life. And so they had this title, Elohim, but a small god. But if you look at this in the right context, he's rebuking them. It's not, he's mocking their pomposity. Watch, verse 6. And I say, you are gods. And all of you are the children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. What he's saying is here, you guys think you're gods because I've given you some authority and you give thumbs up and thumbs down for life and death. He goes, but you know what? You should have been sons of the Most High, but you're going to die like men. It's almost like mocking them. Listen, we see the similar terms today, right? You go to court and you call the judge your honor. Honor? Or how about you run into royalty and your majesty? Really? I thought God was the only majestic one. Or how about your highness? Is there anyone higher than God? See, these are terms we understand These are terms that should be reserved for God, but we give them to certain people of authority here. That was the same thing in their time. Elohim, they were judges. They would rule on certain things. And here, when God referenced them, you call yourselves Elohim. You guys are gods. Elohim, not capitalized. He says, but you know what? You're going to die because you're just men. That's the idea. So don't ever let someone trip you up on that. But that's the thrust of the verse that gets them to, well, you got the Holy Spirit in you. You're more than a conqueror. And if you're back here, he says you're Elohims. Well, then we are gods. And God, that's how they twist the scripture. But they take it out of context. But with a little bit of study, you got it. Okay, here you go. Last one, because we're going to run over a little bit. The question was asked, why are millennials in droves leaving the churches? And so with that question, well, let me ask you real quick. Why do you all think millennials are leaving the churches? Anyone? This generation, the young people of this generation, why do you think they're leaving the churches? Anybody? Right here. Yes, here comes Sean.
I think a lot of them, the parents aren't teaching them the proper way and making it a priority.
Okay. But once they're millennials, they're like in their 20s and 30s. What does that have to do with the parents? Each person makes their own decision, right? Because I know families where the parents taught the children properly and they still depart. Because everyone has free choice. Did you have your hand up? If not, Steve does. Okay. Oh, Desiree, a millennial.
Let me tell you why I'm leaving. No. No, I think a lot of it, not only is it, I mean, they deal with peer pressure just like every other generation has. So to say that the things and the times, I don't think it's necessarily that. I think it has a lot to do with the churches, and I think it has a lot to do with the New Age reform. You know, nobody wants to talk about sin. Nobody wants to talk about accountability. And so when you're not bringing up people's sin, when you're not holding them accountable, when you're not giving the full counsel of God, then they now have this persona of, one, it's okay not to go to church. I can have my own personal relationship without going. I can just read the Bible at home. I can, you know, all of these things that Satan likes to use to isolate us are now acceptable for some reason. I'm not sure why, but.
Okay, I like that. Play the video.
And I love that you said that statistic, and this has been the narrative for a while, you know, and I remember somebody asking me, like, why the same question? 7 out of 10 are leaving. Why is that? It's like, yo, we're leaving the church. We're not leaving God, or we're not leaving our faith.
You better preach that. Come on.
And so what I think is a reason for that, which you segued into perfectly, is just the lack of vulnerability and transparency to those that we're submitted under authority to and to those that are leading us. So we don't know how to go through things because we never see our pastors and leaders be vulnerable enough and put themselves in a position to where it's like, no, this is where I bleed, confident enough that we're praying for them and that we're learning from them, not going and talking about them and gossiping about them, being like, oh, did you know Pastor so-and-so is doing whatever? But it's like there's a certain level of vulnerability that's not there, that doesn't exist, and it's making it really hard for us to find genuine
connection.
Praise God.
Is he right? Is he wrong? Okay, someone else. you answer and then we're done. It's like, everyone go home. You know, just we'll send you the tape of Lois speaking. No, I love you. She really knows her Bible, and you know, you want counseling, you go to her. She'll rock your boat. But I need some others to respond. Is he right? Is he wrong? Was there good parts? Were there bad parts? What do you? Come on, tell me. No one in this church has any discernment. Are you just afraid of me? It's a combo bingo. She goes bingo. Great. Okay, in that case, let me ask you. Since you said bingo, she's got the answer. Okay. Okay, Lois, go ahead. No, look, give her the phone. The phone.
I agree with Desiree. I feel that that we aren't.
Hold it.
And
no, hold it. I need you to address the video, not Desiree.
Oh,
due to time.
Due to time. I think he's pointing at people in the church and having connections. I don't think it's that. I think that we have to preach the Bible and we have to live what the Bible says. And I think a lot of times, you know, when people came to the Lord, their lives were changed and they lived a different way. But now, even in the church, we have people that live just like the world does.
And so let me round that up because you disagree with him.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you, his statement was, please, it's important that we listen to the video. If you're going to raise your hand, just address the video. You said, I don't agree. Well, why don't you agree? What's wrong with what he said?
Because he's just talking about relation. Well, maybe it is true. Okay, so he's talking about relationships in the church.
He spoke specifically of teachers in the church.
And that they're what? Not living
okay,
right?
Look, yeah. Okay, yeah. So it's important that we watch the video. Here's the, and not Lois, I'm saying all of us, including me. Sometimes we start to hear something. I'm going to share with you guys something on Sunday that's going to, it blew my mind, but I'm going to share it with you on Sunday. People oftentimes hear a part of a piece and they already start thinking and analyzing and coming up with the response without hearing everything the other person says. That's a number one problem with Christians is we think we respond without hearing all of the evidence. Words are important. Yes, sir.
So he said that they were leaving the church because the pastors weren't vulnerable.
Yes.
That they wanted to know how the pastor led, whatever, right? So I'm saying it's based on feelings. How does it, instead of a relationship with God, they're more concerned about how the pastor is or whatever. That's
okay.
How I see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had a hand up right here, and then I'm going to break it down because we're out of time.
It's all the distractions that are going on. He's just making excuses for what his feelings that he wanted to leave the church in his heart already. I mean, it's Satan right now just going after everybody. I mean, the attack of the evil one, and that's what it is.
Right. Okay. Now, Gino, now that I say we're out of time,
wait.
He's like, okay, I'll raise my hand. Well, you know what? We got time now,
yeah,
brother. Okay. Lay it on me, bro.
First of all, I'm not that seasoned. But the main takeaway I got on that, because it was really hard to follow, was forsaking the body of Christ, you know, or the assembly. And I believe the assembly is just as important as listening to a pastor. Like, I've heard you talk to many people right at the cameras. You know, you can hear you on the video or any other pastor, but the assembly's not there.
Okay.
And the body needs, we all need each other. Very importantly.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that what he's saying is not an excuse to leave. Is that what you're saying?
I had a hard time following the dude, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I just know if he was forsaken the assembly, and that's
okay.
My main takeaway.
Well, that's a good takeaway, because that is true. He said, his argument, and I want to show you this video, was mostly true. But there was some, number one, he's forsaking. He said, I'm not walking away from Jesus or my faith. I'm just walking away from the church. But you're walking away. That is never the Lord's way. Okay, so you're right on that. But he said that one of the reasons why millennials are walking away is because too often pastors, leaders are not vulnerable. They're not being honest about their sins to show us how we should be dealing with our sins. That is true. Listen, there are churches that if you came and you told the pastor or the leadership that you're struggling with the sin, I know of a church that says, well, you need to find another church. Because they don't want anyone who's struggling with sin in their church. They want to keep their church pure. And I'm like, send them to us. Send them to us. Listen, that's why when I teach, I tell you guys, I struggle with this. I don't have this down. I'm honest with you. I think that is lacking. He's right about that. But listen, gosh, there's so much here. All right, when is the right time? Listen, there are times you have to leave a church. You should. When is the right time? I'm just going to spill it again because we're out of time. Here's the right time and the right way. Let's take HBC, okay? You're coming here. If I teach something that's amiss, that you know, wow, that's really bad, and you come and talk to me, and I say, whatever, and brush it off, or I say, well, that's our tradition, that's just the way we've always been, it doesn't matter what the Bible says, that's a church you need to leave. Or if there's sin in the leadership and it's brought to the pastor's attention, hey, there's sin in the leadership and he does nothing about it, you need to leave that church. So is there a time to leave a church? Yes. If heretically, biblically, they don't want to teach the Bible correctly, they choose tradition over Bible, get out of there. If there's sin in the church and the pastor doesn't want to deal with it, get out of there. But other than that, my feelings got hurt. I don't feel loved. The pastor, he's not being transparent. Well, then come talk to me if you don't think I'm transparent. Listen, my wife will tell you, I'm more goofy at home, so thank God. Okay. Sometimes I'm having conversations with myself, and she's like, are you talking to me? I just tuned you out because you're making gurgly sounds. Well, it's a language to me. But anyways, but I am transparent. What you see is what you get. But I tell you, I have flaws. I have weaknesses. I'll point them out to you. You'll see them. But just because I have a weakness, that shouldn't also, sometimes people use that as a reason to leave. Most of the time, people leave, it's an excuse. It's the enemy. You're absolutely right. Most of the time, it's just the enemy. That's all it is. But, gosh, it was so much. Was this okay? Was it fun? I love this. All right, the rest of the year, this is all we're going to do. No. All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for this night. Thank you for this awesome family, church family. I pray that we would all turn on our discernment and we would listen to every word when people are talking about your word or talking about you, that we wouldn't draw conclusions, Lord, that we wouldn't shut down and say, oh, they said Jesus' name five times. Lord, we need to be right with you. We need to know the truth. We need to walk the truth. We need to be unwavering and not just walk away just because we get our feelings hurt or because something didn't feel right. Our feelings lie, but your word never does. And so, Lord, I thank you for this time. I love this. I love this church family. And thank you for the laughter. It's always wonderful. Lord, we love you. Praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, Friday night, 6 o'clock, talent show, fellowship feast.